Can we give God praise for that and give God a praise for his presence and his love for us? Amen. Amen. Well, as we get ready to approach the word of God, let's pray together and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the time of worship and for the stories of how you have transformed and changed the lives of those that you have allowed us to hear today. And we thank you now again for the opportunity to gather around your word. Would it be a lamp unto our feet? We cannot stumble in the darkness when your word directs us. Would you, Holy Spirit, help us to understand what it means to be connected to Jesus Christ? You're the only teacher. And unless you teach, God, we won't learn. Unless you, Holy Spirit, open our ears to hear, we can't hear. So we trust you to do the work. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. And all that believed it said, amen and amen. I just want to share with you all a scripture. Well, first of all, I just kind of want to review because we're kind of building, right, this conversation about what it means to be identified with God. Last night, we talked about the fact that you and I were not created out of some kind of, you know, accidental sludge, but we were intended by God, that God uniquely fashioned us, and he made us in his image and his likeness. And just like a fish, which was called out of the water, and a plant that's called out of the earth, and a bird needs the air and all that to exist, you and I, since we were created from God, we need God to exist. We cannot be who we need to be without him. But not only that, you all, today we're going to kind of move in a little deeper direction, because all of humanity needs to understand that we're made in the image of God. But those of us who are Christian, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, we need to understand that our identity in Christ changes everything. Knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior literally, you all, gives us a new identity. So Galatians chapter 2, and those that might be kind of remembering this later on to look at these scriptures, kind of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says this: I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to read that again. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we're going to talk today about being identified with Christ. Now, you all, I'm on a journey with God just like you are. And so I really don't need anybody hating on me, throwing shade at me, or being mad at me for telling y'all the movie that I went to see. And if it's something that offends you or makes you feel like I'm not spiritual, oh, well. All right. So there's this movie called Get Out, right? And it's a movie about this kind of mixed couple, this white girl, this black guy, and she's inviting him to go and meet her family. And so they're getting on a little road trip, and they go to the house of this girl's parents. And come to find out that the parents' family, the girl's parents' family, their father was in the Olympics, and Jesse Owens, I believe it was, beat him, and he became like second or third place and kind of was mad at, you know, Jesse Owens and all the people that looked like Jesse Owens. That meant black people, all right? So when the girl invites the guy over, come to find out that they are like surgeons, and they're taking the brains of people and placing them inside of black people's bodies. It's kind of weird, all right? But the bottom line is that some of the people in the movie that you saw as African-American people were actually white people whose brains were inside of black people's bodies. So what, grandpa was inside of this black guy who was the lawn taker, and he was out there running all the time because the guy was actually in the Olympics, but he was inside this other person's body. The bottom line is this: we were looking at a body, but the person that was controlling the body was not the person that we were looking at. Let me say it again. We were looking at these people in the movie, but many of these people in the movie who had been taken over and had this kind of transplant, they had the physical outer appearance of the person that you know, they knew, but the person that was actually inside of them, controlling them, was somebody completely different. Well, you say, what does that do with anything? It really has a lot to do with everything, because that really is the story of what it means to be a Christian. You all, when Jesus Christ came, he changed everything. Now, you all, in this society, and I really appreciate the struggles that you guys go through, I can't imagine how hard it is to be a young person in 2017. I mean, it is, first of all, it's unbelievable that you love Jesus. It's unbelievable that you serve him in a society, in a world like today. But let me just share with you all something, because I know that some of us don't want to offend people, and some of us don't want our friends who are not Christians to be offended by our Christianity. And therefore, some of us, we choose to not identify with Christ because we don't want people to be offended by our Christianity. We don't want people to be upset by our faith. But let me just say this to you all. When you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you did not choose a religion. You did not choose a religion. You chose the only way that God provided for humankind to be able to reach him. The Bible says when Jesus came, he says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I have many friends that are Muslim. I love my Muslim friends. I live in Detroit, and the largest Muslim population outside of the Middle East is in Dearborn, Michigan, right in the suburb of Detroit. I love my Muslim friends. I've got friends that are Buddhist, and I thank God for them. I've got friends who don't really want to claim any religion. They call themselves more agnostic. I don't really believe in a particular God, but I believe that there is some kind of God. I've got friends that are atheists, so I respect everybody. But know one thing, Jesus Christ is not a religion. Religion, listen, is man's attempt to reach God. All the things I've got to do, all the prayers I've got to pray, all the special things I've got to, service I've got to render so I can get pleased by God. Christianity is not that. It is not our attempt to reach God. It is God's success in reaching man. When Jesus came on the scene, you all, he changed the game, and let me explain to you why. Last night, we talked in Genesis about how we were made in the image of God, right? We were made in the likeness of God, and that should have been the end of the story, but it didn't end there. He created mankind, you and me, with a free will. Say free will. Okay, say a little bit louder than that. Free will, a choice, right? He created humanity with a choice. That means we could choose him or not choose him. So Adam and Eve, butt naked in the garden, they are walking around, no shame, no sin, just enjoying each other, enjoying being God's image bearers, being able to have rulership over all of creation. The Bible says that one day as they were in the garden, God gave them a commandment. Listen, you can eat of every tree in the garden. Whatever tree you want to eat of, you can eat of it. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, do not eat of that tree. Because the moment that you eat of that tree, you will die. The moment that you eat of that tree, you will die. So Adam and Eve, they could walk around, they could eat of the tree of life. They could eat of all of these other trees that were in the garden. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were commanded, don't eat, because the day that you eat, you will surely die. Now, you all, how many of y'all know when you're told you can't do something, that's the very thing you want to do? Come on, don't leave me. All right. So I was, when I was young, have you seen those buttons that say do not push? You know, it could be any kind of button, don't push. And I used to, as a kid, just always be the guy to push that button. And so I would stand near the button, right? And I just wanted to see if something was going to happen if I stood near the button. Then I would just kind of lean on the button a little bit, right? And then I would push it and see if anything happened. And when it didn't happen, I just kept pushing it. I didn't know what was going on. One time, this is the honest God truth, I worked for a dentist's office in Chicago, and it was the silent alarm. And the police came, and they were thinking it was a robbery, but I had actually pushed the silent alarm underneath the secretary's desk because I just like to do kind of the forbidden stuff. Well, this is what happened with Adam and Eve. God gave them a commandment, do not eat of that tree. But then the devil comes, right, and the devil begins to talk to them. Now, listen, anytime a snake is talking to me, I'm gone. And I don't understand these movies. Just like with Get Out, I wouldn't even get there to get out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, when I got there and saw all them white people and all the people looking at me smiling, I've been like, all right, yep, what's up now? I'm gone. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand. And I'm saying it's a cultural divide sometimes. I mean, I love multicultural stuff, but I don't understand white people and asking questions when houses are talking to them. Get out. I'm gone, you know. Honey, someone's asking us to get out. Let's investigate. Nah, I ain't investigating. I'm gone. But listen, y'all, when a snake starts talking to you off a tree, book. But now, Eve wanted to get into a dialogue. The snake, the serpent said, did God say that if you eat of this tree, that you would die? He must be holding something from y'all. It must be something about this tree that he don't want y'all to have. And so Eve, she got a hold of the fruit. It wasn't the apple. We don't know what it was. It was the fruit of the tree. She took it and she ate it. Now listen, y'all, nothing happened. Eve ate the apple. I mean, the tree, the fruit, nothing happened. But then she gave it to her husband who was standing by her, who God had given the authority to lead and to rule. And he ended up eating of this fruit of the tree. The moment that happened, you all, listen, the moment that happened, man was separated from God. The moment that that happened, mankind, humanity, separated from God. That's just two people. But then the Bible says they had children, and those children were in their image, right? In the beginning, Adam and Eve, man, was in the image of God. But then they had offspring that was in their image. Have y'all ever seen family people that look the same? Like everybody in your house got big ears or something like that? Listen, I have one daughter, right? My daughter's my only child, and she's just a really pretty girl. She's 25, whatever. But I remember when I first had my daughter, I'm like, you know what? She needs to look like me some kind of way. You know what I'm saying? I'm dark-skinned. My wife kind of dark-skinned. I don't need to see no high yellow baby coming out, you know, like what's going on, right? So because there are family traits that happen when you can look at a person and know who they're connected to. Well, listen, spiritually dead Adam and spiritually dead Eve could only produce spiritually dead children. Because everything is produced after its own kind. And so after that point of their disobedience, every human being born was born separated from God. Every human being. I'll never forget my little daughter. Again, she's my only child. And I realized sin nature when I saw my daughter finally getting old enough in her little mind to start thinking. And the moment she started thinking, she started lying. You know why? Because kids do not have, they don't have to be taught how to lie. They have to be taught to tell the truth. Because even little precious children have a sin nature. I told my little daughter, I said, listen, don't go to the refrigerator because it's dangerous. Ask Dad if you need some milk. I'll get it for you. She said, sure, Dad. And one day I saw her whole face covered with milk. I said, Tiffany, you were drinking milk. She said, no, I wasn't, Daddy. I said, Tiffany, you were drinking milk. She said, no, I wasn't. I took her and held her up to the mirror. I said, look at your face. There's milk all over your face. She said, Mommy did it. Just a little liar. Just a little infant toddler liar. But listen, you all of us, listen, lest we laugh at her, all of us were created with a sin nature. It is part of how we were born. We inherited the disobedience of Adam and Eve. And we were born with that nature. And guess what? The Bible says in Psalms, we were shapen in iniquity. And therefore, we were born separated from God. Listen, everybody on the earth is not going to heaven. Everybody that's on the earth is not just automatically going to go to heaven because they're a human being. Jesus was very clear when he said the only people that can actually reach the Father are people that connect to me. And so you are, humanity is in sin. And there's some of us that are in the room right now, and you're good. You know, we thank God that you're here. You're not a bad person as far as maybe overall. But guess what? If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you, just like I, at one point without Christ, you're in sin. And it's impossible to please God when you're in sin. And so in the Old Testament, you all, there's a scripture that says, unless there's a shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. Hebrews 9:22, just hear this. It says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Why? Because the Bible says in the Old Testament that life is in the blood. So it says, unless there's a shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness, right? So in the Old Testament, they had these series of sacrifices. They would take goats and calves and turtle doves, and they would go to the temple, and they would make these bloody sacrifices, and they would make these sacrifices by giving these things to the priests. And the priests, on behalf of the people, would allow the blood of these animals to be shed. And that blood in the Old Testament covered sin. How many of y'all don't really make up your bed, but you got a comforter? Come on. How many of y'all don't really like fold your sheets and stuff? You just pop your comforter on top of your bed, right? If the truth be told, if we pull that comforter back, it's potato chips, it's Pringles. I mean, it's all kind of stuff up in there, right? Because the comforter, as it covers your bed, it kind of keeps all of the stuff that's not together hidden. Well, that's what the Old Testament did. The blood of goats, the blood of calves, and the blood of sheep and oxen and all of that, that blood covered sin. Why? God is holy. God is perfect. God is pure. And he cannot look and be connected to that that is not holy and that that is not perfect and that that is not pure. So this sacrifice stuff allowed mankind to be able to get to God because their sins were kind of covered. But guess what? Covered sin did not take away sin. We needed something to happen to take away sin. Why? Because we can't be in the presence of God, who's holy and pure and perfect, without something that would take away the sin. Now, you all, I don't know about you, but I've tried in my own strength to deal with my sin, and it never works. I'm going to be nice to people, and then somebody get on your last nerve. I'm not going to do that, and then you do it, right? Beginning of the year, remember, you made a New Year's resolution, right? You broke it January 2nd, right? This is the year I get straight A's. And then you're like, okay, I just want to pass, you know. Listen, you all of us have sinned. Listen, hear this. Everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the reason why Jesus came is because sin had to be dealt with. Not covered, but taken away. We're getting ready to come up on Holy Week. And Easter's not just about some religious function where people just remember and they. No, it is literally a reminder of the event that changed the direction of humanity. Because Jesus, born of a virgin, I'm preaching the gospel today, born of a virgin, this was so important. Because from the time that Adam and Eve were, everybody was born with a mama and a daddy. And therefore, the DNA of everybody was formed with sin in it. But then God spoke to Mary, a virgin, and say, you about to have a baby. Can you imagine her boyfriend, her husband-to-be, finding out that your girlfriend talking about she's pregnant by the Holy Ghost? You know what I'm saying? Oh, really, the Holy Ghost, right? Okay. So first time and last time this has ever happened where the Spirit of God overshadows Mary and she conceives a holy thing. Jesus born, listen, fully man, but born unlike any other man, because the blood that is surging through his veins is not contaminated blood, not blood that is sinful, but it is literally the blood of God. God now is walking on the earth in the person of Jesus Christ, perfect, pure, holy. Let me help you understand something. If Jesus, who never was mean, Jesus, who never did anything wrong, Jesus, who loved everybody, was murdered, then what makes you think people ain't gonna like you?
I just don't understand why no one likes me and no one wants to be my friend.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
You know, I just try so hard. I mean, I go to court. I go to the meetings, and I do all the stuff I'm supposed to do. And it just seems like people are so mean to me. And I don't know why people are so mean.
If they kill Jesus, I think that you don't have to worry about why they don't like your messed up self. Listen, you all, Jesus, God in human flesh, right? So now here it is. Jesus goes to Calvary, and he decides to die. As a matter of fact, Pontius Pilate is standing there saying, you know what? I have power to take your life. Jesus is in there with chains, crown of thorns on his head. His back is all bloodied and torn, skin torn off of his back. And he says, no man takes my life, but I lay it down. When John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, he said, behold, listen, behold the Lamb of God. Not the lambs that they've been using before in the Old Testament, but behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And the moment that Jesus got on the cross, listen,
The Bible says the wages of sin is death, right? There, Jesus had never sinned. The crucifixion couldn't have killed God. Do you think some cross could have killed God? They could have nailed nails all day and it wouldn't have killed him. He made them. He made the wood. He made the doggone nails. The thing that killed him was not there crucifying him, but it was sin. He became sin. He who knew no sin said, I choose to become them. And I'm going to do an exchange. Y'all saw that movie Face Off? Y'all don't, okay. It was a John Travolta movie called Face Off. And this guy, they had to take faces. And they, yeah, remember that? Yeah, so they had a face and they put the face on the other person. Well, bottom line is this. Jesus said, humanity is sinful. And they deserve to die. And they deserve hell. And they deserve judgment. But I love them so much. And since I am innocent, and since I have never done wrong, then I will assume their debt. And I will take it upon myself. And the moment that Jesus did that, you all, the moment that he took your sin and took my sin and took the sins of everybody that ever lived or ever would live, the moment that he did that, he died. And in that moment, he said, it is finished. What was he saying was finished? Listen, he said, no longer can the devil tell God's people that they are not forgiven and they are not accepted because I have become them. The judgment that should have come to them has now come to me. And then on the third day, he got up from the grave with all power of heaven and earth in his hand, and he lives forevermore. Every other prophet is in the ground. Muhammad is cool, but he's in the ground. But Buddha's cool, but he's in the ground. The Mormon guy, whoever he is, he's in the ground somewhere. But Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father and lives forever and ever and ever and ever with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. Now listen, you all, here it is. The moment that you became a Christian, you didn't just join a religion. You got connected to God through his son, Jesus Christ. And let's go back to Galatians. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Listen, you're in Christ. Say in Christ. Say I'm in Christ. Now listen, y'all, I'm in this jacket. This jacket, I can't go nowhere without it because I'm in it. And if I'm really covered by it, you can't see my imperfections because I'm inside of the thing that is covering me. When you're in Christ, the devil cannot see your weaknesses. All he can see is the blood of Jesus that covers you. When you're in Christ, all God sees is not your failures and not your disappointments and not you being not good enough. Because guess what? Nobody's good enough. But what Jesus has done for you is allow God to look at you and love you because you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You've been forgiven. There's nothing that you can ever do. There's nothing that you have ever done that will separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ. That means to be identified with Christ is not being identified with religion. It is literally having the nature of Christ on the inside of you. Now watch this. When you became a Christian, you did not just become a part of some religious institution. You literally got a new life. Look what it says, you all, in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation is come, the old is gone, and the new is here. The moment that you and I accepted Jesus, the Bible says the old nature has passed away, and behold, all things become new. Listen, when we are identified with Christ, it enables us, listen, to do what we could not do without his presence. You all, it is impossible to forgive people. You know, there's a lady in Detroit whose, I think her children were killed and murdered brutally. She's a Christian. And she met with the murderer. And she said, I forgive you in the name of Jesus Christ. Some of y'all say, oh, I could never do that. Well, of course, you might not be able to. In your own strength, but the closer you are in Christ,
He enables us to do things that we could never do. Listen, because his nature is in us. His ability is in us. His power is in us. So that we will not give glory to ourselves, but give glory to him. Being identified with Christ means that you have the knowledge God loves me and accepts me. I grew up, you all, feeling suicidal almost every day of my life, struggling with depression, hating myself, hating my life. And I didn't want to live. But the moment that Jesus Christ came in my life, he changed the trajectory. Because now the life that I live, it's not my life, but it's Christ that lives in me. It's him that moves through me. It's him that enables me to love and forgive and to walk in power, not my own strength, but his. So here's the thing. I want to challenge us today to answer this question in your mind. Have I surrendered to Jesus? I'm not talking about acknowledging that he's the Savior and he's the Lord. The Bible says even the devils do that. The devils acknowledge that he's the Lord, but they don't serve him. Have you made the commitment to submit to him? Because your identity can never fully become what God wants it to be until you allow Christ's identity to be yours. It's not about what you want anymore. The Bible says, it's no longer my life, but it's Christ that lives in me. It's not your life. I was going to be a banker and God called me to preach. It didn't make any sense to me. How in the world can I go to Jesuit prep school and be accepted at all these universities? And my mom spent all this money helping me be equipped in these private schools, and now I'm going to go into ministry? But when you're called by God and you're in relationship with him, you make decisions that are not yours because it's no longer you, but it's Christ. And there's some of you in this room right now that are running from God. You know why? I don't want to be a Christian right now because I'm still trying to have some fun. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to commit because I want to do some stuff. But can I tell you something? Your life is empty. Your life is not fulfilled because, listen, God will never allow your life to be full without him. He'll never allow joy to be at its greatest level without him. So an invitation to Christ is not just some kind of mental assent, but it is a surrender of your soul to him. And to be identified with Christ means you are no longer identified with the old you, but you are identified with the new you. Listen, the new you is forgiven. Forgive yourself because God has forgiven you. But you don't know what I said yesterday. God knows what you said before you said it, and he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Oh, but I'm no good, and I'm always doing this, and I'm always doing... Listen, you have no idea that God has forgiven you when you keep talking about all that kind of stuff. You're forgiven. Say, I'm forgiven. If you've not accepted Jesus today as your Lord and Savior, we're getting ready to give you an opportunity to do that. And listen, you all, I don't want this... And I've been to youth, conferences, and I kind of feel like sometimes we almost do stuff like as a group, you know? Like me and my friends, let's go together and let's come to the altar together and just let God do a work with us together. You know, like it's kind of like a group think. I don't want a group think thing. But if you're here today and you really know that you've not surrendered to Jesus, guess what? You still have that old nature, right? The Adam and Eve disobedience. And you wonder why you can't overcome stuff and you keep fighting stuff and you keep making one step forward and 10 steps back. Could it be that you have not surrendered? If you're here and you've not given your life to Jesus, for real, in a few moments, we're going to invite you to come and there are going to be some leaders that will be here to pray with you. Now listen, I know some of you say, I don't want anybody to see me. I don't want my friends to see me. They don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. It's not about your friends seeing you. It's about Jesus seeing you. And it's about you coming and saying, I need that blood to wash my sin away. I need to get my life right with him. I need for my identity to not be with my friends and not to be with my schoolmates and not to be what my parents want me to be or what my parents think I'm not. I don't need my identity to be what I think it is, but I need it to be what Christ says it is. And Christ says my identity is forgiven. Christ says my identity is a child of God. And if you've not done that, that can't be your identity because you've not accepted him. But today you can do that. For others of you, you've already accepted Christ. You know him. But you've been kind of walking around with the wrong thinking. That, oh man, I'm not good enough. I'm a failure. I keep messing up. God must not love me. My prayer today is that as you are understanding being identified with Christ, that you will no longer think you're not good enough. You are great enough. He died for you. And that you'll no longer wonder whether or not you have the power to overcome, because greater is God in you than the enemy that is in the world. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Please, please honor this moment. Spirit of the living God, we pray now that you would speak to those who are here who are far from you. This young man, this young lady, God, who really wants to know you, has been maybe fearful of what others might think, of how it might look. Would you give them courage to come? And then, God, for those who already love you and know you, you are calling them deeper. Some of them, Lord God, you're calling into ministry. Others, you are calling out of the ways of darkness. They've already been brought out of the darkness, but now they've still been kind of stuck in the ways of darkness. Now you're calling them into the light. God, would you now speak to each of us? And would you let us, God, choose to be identified with you? If you're here and Jesus is calling you into a relationship with him, and you know he is, I don't want you to hesitate. I don't want you to wait to see who else is going to get up. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking anyway. But if you don't mind having enough courage, young man, if you don't mind having enough courage, young lady, I encourage you, would you come forward if God is speaking to you today saying, you know what, I need a relationship with Jesus, and I know I do. We're giving you this space now. Would you respond to him if you're here? If you're here, no shame, no shame. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come if you're here? If God is speaking to you, would you come? We're giving you an opportunity to respond. The Bible says, the day that you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. You don't even know me. My voice is insignificant, but I'm talking about the voice inside of my voice. Is God telling you to come? Would you obey his call? If you're here and you know you're not in a relationship with Jesus, but you know you really want to be, just come forward. Come forward. Come forward. That's right. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There are others of you that are here and you know that God has been calling you into a deeper place with him. And our prayer is that you would understand what it means now to be identified with Christ. It doesn't mean just being in a religion. It means being in a relationship with Jesus, being forgiven. There's some activities that are going to happen right after this, but in spite of that, there will be leaders that are making themselves available to you. You may not have felt comfortable coming up in front of everybody. We understand that. But please don't you dare leave without saying, you know what, that was me. God was speaking to me. I was a little nervous. Could somebody pray with me? Those leaders will be available right after to pray with you. Now, God, we thank you so much for reminding us of your love and reminding us, God, of our identity with you. Help us, Jesus, to not operate as the world would have us operate, under shame and guilt and condemnation, but that we would know that we are forgiven and we are accepted. We are righteous, not because we are good, but because you are good. We thank you so much for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.